Radio Molossia.
News break. This month's news in the Republic of Molossia.
Molossia improvements, 9 April 2024. The Republic of Molossia is pleased to announce 3 new improvements to our nation, both aesthetic and functional. First, a lovely new 4-tier fountain now adorns Red Square, a welcome embellishment to the open plaza that is the home to many festivities in our nation. The focal point for the end of each tour of Molossia, the fountain serves as a wishing well of sorts, promising the return visit of anyone who tosses in a coin. Not far from the fountain, a coconut weather station has been established, a humorous take on the somewhat wild weather that can plague Molossia, not our weather, of course, but the unpleasant weather that blows in over the border from the U.S. And finally, high up on the east side of the Molossian's big red barn, a bat house has been installed. We are not averse to all types of insect control, and that would include bats. Here's hoping that the nocturnal aviators will make their home in Molossia an unusual and valuable addition to Molossia's wildlife. In other news, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. Tourist season starts with a bang, 27 April 2024. On Saturday, 27 April 2024, the Republic of Molossia was visited by our first tourist of the year. On an absolute gorgeous day, at about 10:41 a.m. Molossian Standard Time, a great group of 24 tourists arrived in Molossia from such far-flung locales as South Korea and as close as right down the road in the U.S. Among this group was the august persona of the Minister of Silly Walks and his entourage from the United Republics of Jämtland, a Swedish micronation. This made the tourist visit also sort of a state visit, too. After a brief ceremony in Republic Square, our tourists all explored Molossia, escorted by His Excellency the President and the First Lady. They took in all the sights of our nation, including Red Square, Norton Park, and the Tower of the Winds. The President, as usual, regaled our visitors with the stories and culture of Molossia, ensuring they had an enjoyable visit. Finally, their curiosity about the world's smallest republic satisfied, our visitors returned to the United States, destined for adventures elsewhere. We are happy as always to have hosted this mighty group of travelers and fans of Molossia in our nation and wish them well on their future pursuits.
Insanity runs in my family. It practically gallops.
Since our voyage of love began, your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
And I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
Rock on with your dancing.
Rock the boat.
Rock on with your dancing.
Rock the boat.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I think so, Brain.
No.
But don't camels spit a lot?
Strange Adventure. Constable Heath of the Canadian Mounted Police halted his dog team before the isolated cabin. Jules Lebec, his strained face beaming with gratitude and his eyes shedding tears of relief, rushed out to greet the officer.
Ah, monsieur, at last you've come. My Indian runner gave you my note. Delaney, my partner, is crazy, wild. A few more days with him, and I be crazy too.
The officer nodded. He knew the story without hearing the details. Another man had cracked under the strain of the far north. The loneliness, the long nights, the piercing cold, the struggle of tending long trap lines had been too much. A few weeks of gentle care and normal surroundings, and Delaney would be all right. But it would take a couple of weeks to get him to that care.
I say, get his things. We'll start immediately. Oh, monsieur, thank you, thank you.
The constable and the maniac started trotting beside the sled. After an hour, Delaney dropped behind. Heath slowed the dogs and went back after his charge. Delaney waited till Heath came near, then sprang. The maniac's fingers clawed at the officer's throat. Heath relaxed. Then, just before everything went black, he lunged up and forward, breaking the hold. Finally subdued, Delaney was handcuffed and tied in the sled. That night when camp was made, wolves howled in the distance. The maniac had to be left unfettered in case the wolf pack was hungry and bold enough to attack. Delaney slept soundly, but Heath didn't dare risk even the lightest doze. Then the days dragged on, and Heath made camp for what he had hoped for the last time before reaching a Mountie station and relief. Every move was torture. Merely raising his hand was like lifting a heavy weight. The wolves edged closer. They circled the camp. Heath sat with his back to the fire, his rifle ready, while Delaney slept. Then the wolves attacked. A snarling, howling, biting horde swarmed over the camp. Heath emptied his rifle, but still they came. One of them grabbed his arm before he could reload or turn the gun to use as a club. The maniac sprang from the sled and grabbed a hatchet. He swung wildly, laughing, screaming, venting his mad lust for killing. His hatchet crashed against the head of the wolf, whose fangs were buried in Heath's arm. Finally, the wolves were driven off. The officer bandaged his arm as best he could, then started off along the trail, leading Delaney on foot. The pair finally staggered into the Mountie station, Delaney half-dragging, half-carrying the constable. Heath collapsed, screaming, shouting, weeping, stark raving, mad from fatigue, nervous strain, and loss of blood. Both men were taken to an asylum. But fate added the final irony to this mission of madness. Delaney was normal in a couple of weeks, but it was a full year before Constable Heath was able to return to duty. This is Pat McGeehan in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye from my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to Pattern for Murder, our next tale of Strange Adventure.
I'm
You're listening to Radio Molossia.
Truth is stranger than fiction. This is the truth. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
The masks which were worn by ancient Roman actors were not only for the audience's eyes, they were also for its ears. They served as voice amplifiers so the actors could be heard throughout the vast Roman theaters, believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the prophet who could not change his own fate.
Lips like sandpaper? Get Mad Mustang Lip Balm and put those lips at ease.
Fadl ben Shahar was Grand Vizier of Caliph Mamun in Baghdad, and he was also a famed clairvoyant. He even predicted his own death at the hands of Ali Arida in his bath. In an attempt to change his fate, he tried to make friends with his foe. He even persuaded the Caliph Mamun to name Ali Arida as his successor. But his scheme backfired, for when Ali took over, his first official act was to have Fadl assassinated, and it was in his bath, believe it or not.
What are you up to, Norm?
My ideal weight if I were 11 feet tall.
Radio Molossia.